I was an atheist professor who was walking through the woods one day admiring the accident of evolution. He looked at the trees and the flowers. He observed the rivers and the animals, and he marveled at the magnificence of evolution. All of a sudden, he heard a rustling in the bushes, and out pounced a 7-foot grizzly bear. Immediately, the bear began chasing him, and he ran feverishly to save his life, huffing and puffing and crying, with the bear catching up with every step he made. He tripped and fell. Now the bear hovered over him, and he raised up his paw, ready to strike. And the atheist cried out, "Oh my God, help me." And all of a sudden, light came out of heaven. The bear's paw was in the very midst, ready to swipe. But the bear froze. The river stopped flowing. The wind stopped blowing. Everything was perfectly quiet and perfectly still. That's when a voice spoke. The voice through the clouds, through the light, said this, "Sir, do you really believe that after all these years of denying me, after all these years of believing that this universe is merely a cosmic accident, and after all these years of teaching your students why I do not exist, that I would help you now?" The man peering at the light said this, "You know, you're right. My track record is bad, and it would be hypocritical of me to call on you now. But maybe we could approach this in a different way. Even though you can't do anything for me, perhaps you could turn the bear into a Christian. If you did that, things would still turn out differently for me." The voice from the light said, "As you request." All of a sudden, the river began to flow. The wind began to blow. The trees began to rustle. The bear sat back, picked up his paws, clasped them together in prayer, and he said this, the bear did, "Oh God, thank you for this food I'm about to receive." Sometimes, when things get scary in life, we think we just can't make it. We then and only then, sometimes we call on God. When things get bad enough, isn't it amazing the new direction people are willing to look? But we shouldn't treat prayer as a last resort. It should be our daily approach to life itself. And it should be prayers of thanksgiving and praise to Almighty God. One of the most familiar psalms in all the Bible is Psalm 100. It talks about praise to God. And it talks about all men are encouraged to praise God. Listen to what the psalmist had to say. "Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. Know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, his loving kindness is everlasting, and his faithfulness to all generations." How important is thanksgiving to you? Folks, no matter how bad things get, as we stop and think about it, we have so much to praise God for and to thank him for. And I'm of the opinion if we took the time to thank him for all he has blessed us with, instead of finding fault with everything that goes wrong every day, we'd have a whole different attitude and approach to life. Psalm 100 is a fitting climax to the collection of what is known as royal psalms. The royal psalms are Psalm 93 and then Psalm 95 to 100. And these psalms really sum up their emphasis on God's sovereign rule, God's goodness to his people, and the responsibility of all nations to acknowledge him. But it also talks about the importance of God's people exalting him and worshiping him. I realize that we're living in a day when being ungrateful is a normal approach to life. And Thanksgiving, sadly, has been limited to a holiday with parades and football games and turkey with all the trimmings. We've become such a presumptuous people, I'm afraid, in America. We are so presumptuous that without regard for price or provider, too often we persistently pursue that which is perishable, even in the middle of economic uncertainty. It's amazing to me how much money is being spent today on luxury items, it's been called, when there's so much need all around us. And it's all, you notice some of these advertisements on television? The most selfish things I've ever seen. Talking about these $75,000, $100,000, $150,000 cars, and got even a new program that's coming on now talking about the luxury sports cars, probably from $200,000 to $300,000. What about just taking time to say, God, thank you for all you've done for me? This psalm talks about thanksgiving. Sadly, I'm afraid that this, in this presumptuous spirit of being ungrateful, that robs us of the spirit of thanksgiving that God requires of us, we just go our merry way without stopping to give him thanks. This psalm of thanksgiving is written to restore into us a spirit of gratitude to the Lord, and with it, hopefully, a sense of generosity and humility. Ingratitude is a universal problem because we see that this psalm is addressed to all races of people around the world and across all ages and all stages of life. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. It didn't just say you few people who call on me. It says all the earth, everybody, should give praise to God. This psalm lets us know that God expects us to recognize who we are relative to who he is and respond to his works with enthusiasm and offer a reply of thanksgiving. The question becomes, then, how do we respond properly to the Lord? First of all, just according to this psalm, and it's all throughout the Psalms and the Word of God, we are to respond with joyful praise. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful singing. But how do we respond with joyful praise? How can we be assured that God would accept our praise to him? One of the ways we can be assured that God will accept our joyful praise to him is by recognizing who he is. Sometimes we take God for granted, don't we? The psalmist said, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. There was ever a time, ever a day, when we need to recognize who God is. It is today. Look at the mess that we've gotten ourselves in by not fully recognizing who God is, that he is in control, that he is the creator, the redeemer, the sustainer, the provider, the lover of our soul, the lifter up of our head, the one who wants to guide us and direct us. It amazes me how so many of our leaders in this country today, and sometimes I'm afraid it comes maybe from us all too often, they invoke the name of God and then go on and make decisions if God doesn't exist. God requires more than that from all of us. We need to recognize who he is. How many times have you heard someone say, he's a self-made man? I know this is just a figure of speech, referring to ourselves as being self-made, but that attitude, what it does is contribute to a spirit of ingratitude, a spirit of unthankfulness, failing to thank God for who he is. This attitude is an attitude of self-promotion, self-praise, that go hand in hand with a spirit of ingratitude. Our sinful flesh, the world, and Satan would have you and me to arrogantly believe that we are really are self-made and with no need to give thanks to anyone else. Folks have become too proud. Sometimes they remind me of a peacock. You're familiar with a peacock, aren't you? When he spreads his tail feathers out, he walk around and struts. Beautiful thing. He's talking about how pretty it is until it opens its mouth. You ever heard one squawk? It reminds me of scratching your fingers on a chalkboard. with a squeal. Sometimes that's the way pride, what pride is. It looks good on the outside, but on the inside, when what comes out just grates on your nerves and you realize, hey, what's going on with that individual? Pride. Such is the condition of those who are afflicted with pride. A story about two brothers who both graduated from college. One became a farmer and the other became a brilliant, wealthy lawyer. The lawyer brother visited the farmer brother on the farm. He was rather proud. He looked at him and said, I can't believe you're not made anything of your life. You're out here on this farm. But look at me. Look at where I am. I'm on Wall Street. I'm an investor in the stock market. I have clients who are millionaires. And here you are, stuck out here on this farm. I wonder what the difference between us is. The farmer brother then spoke. He pointed out to his wheat field. He said, you see, you're going to see two types of wheat out there, my brother. You're going to see wheat that is standing straight up and tall. But in the head of that wheat, there's nothing. It's empty. That is why it's standing so high. You'll also see some other wheat that has bent over. That's because the head is full. It's full of wheat. Some folks are standing straight up and tall and proud and boastful of who they are. They're able to do so because they are empty of gratitude. Some walk a little bent over, indicating that they are full, humble, and grateful. The test is not what you have in your pocket. It's what you have in your heart. It makes all the difference in the world. But how you approach life. Listen, it is by God's grace, God's mercy, and God's love that you and I have been richly blessed. We must recognize who He is. The psalmist said in Psalm 99, the Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He is enthroned above the cherubim, let the earth shake. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is exalted above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is He. We serve a holy and righteous God. We serve a God who is in control of everything, and we sometimes fail to recognize that and give Him thanks. And we try to take things into our own hands like self-made individuals. Say we can handle everything on our own and come to the point when we realize, like the man who was chased by the bear, I can't handle this. And we foolishly sometimes call on God then when we should have been calling on Him all the time, seeking His wisdom, His leadership, and His guidance. We must recognize who the Lord is. The psalmist said in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits. We so easily forget God's benefits. Now, what benefits are we talking about? When we recognize who God is, we cannot help but stop and thank and praise Him for all He's done for us. Like the psalmist did, he said, He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your diseases. Who redeems your life from the pit. Who crowns you with loving kindness and compassion. Who satisfies your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness. I sure am glad He's slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness on a daily basis to me. But He'll not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. Why? Because He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. Goes on to say, the loving kindness of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear Him, and His righteousness to children's children, to those who keep His covenant and remember His precepts to do them. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord, O my soul. We have so much to thank God for on a daily basis, to thank Him for His goodness and His mercy and His love, realizing who He is, recognizing Him as God, a very God. And if we're not for God, none of us would exist today. He's the one that gives us the very breath. He's the one that causes our hearts to beat. He's the one who provides us, gives us the strength and the ability and the ingenuity to provide for ourselves on a daily basis. God's a good and great God. We just simply need to recognize who He is. But we also need to realize who we are. The psalmist said in verse 3, know that the Lord himself is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Yes, we are fearfully and wonderfully made, but we are certainly not self-made. Even with all of our professional accomplishments, they're simply gifts and blessings of God. Paul, writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 6:17, said this, instruct those who are rich in this present world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches, but on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. It is God who has made us. It is God who provides for us on a daily basis. God has made you and me a little lower than the angels and crowned us with glory and honor, the psalmist said in Psalm 8, verse 5. We are uniquely unique. We are fearfully and wonderfully made in his image and in his likeness. Oh, do we know the extent of what God has done for us? The psalmist in Psalm 139 was just absolutely fascinated by the wonderful truth that there was nothing he could do, nowhere he could go, not even a thought he could think, but God didn't know every bit of it. Then he says in verse 13, so you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. These abortionists need to read this, folks. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were all written the days that were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them. You realize God knew you before you were conceived and before you were born? That's an awesome thought, folks. That's an awesome God that we serve. The psalmist understood who God was, and he realized who he was. And we must acknowledge that truth. It's not enough to acknowledge him, our Savior. We must recognize that he is our Lord, who is conforming us to his image on a daily basis. That's why he redeemed us and saved us, to be conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, to be like him. Why? Because one day we're going to be with him as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an eternal home in heaven, and we need to act like it and live like it down here. What a wonderful truth and comfort it is to know that we are God's sheep under God's care. The psalmist in Psalm 55, verse 22, even when we go through some difficult days, trying times, God still cares. God still loves us. In fact, the psalmist said in Psalm 55, 22, cast your burden upon the Lord. He will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken or be cast aside. What a wonderful promise from Almighty God. Yes, we've been through some difficult days these last 3 years with the COVID and everything else that's going on. But God has not abandoned us. He's promised never to fail us nor forsake us. But he has promised to see us through, to provide for our every need. He is the sovereign Lord God. And we are safe in his care and in his hands. Jesus reminds us in John's Gospel, chapter 10 and verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I will give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father is one. So why in the world should we worry about what mankind can do to us? They may cause us some pain and heartache and disappointment and hurt down here. But I would remind you that life down here is as bad as it's going to ever be for you and me. The best is yet to come. But for those who are unbelievers, life down here is as good as it's going to ever be. And there's an eternal life, an eternal destiny out there. Ours is with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, but theirs is in a place called hell, where there'll be no relief whatsoever. But thank God we are safe in the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what can man do to you and me? We're safe in His care and in His hands. So we would do well if we could sing, safe in the arms of Jesus, safe in His tender care. He watches over us and He cares for us. Recognizing the deity, the sovereignty, and the creatorship of God should give us cause for thanksgiving and should remind us that there's no way we should ever be ashamed to own the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a story about a minister who received a letter from a governor welcoming him to open a city council meeting in prayer. The letter also requested that the minister pray generically and not mention Jesus so as not to offend people of other religious persuasions. The minister accepted the call. The day of the event, he took his place at the podium and began to pray. Here's what he prayed. Father, I want to thank You for this opportunity to pray before the city council. I would like to thank You, first of all, for creating them, because if they were not here, then they could not take on this responsibility. According to Your word, everything created was created by Christ Jesus. Thank You, Lord, for creating government. Government is an institution of God, according to the Apostle Paul, who met Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road. And Lord, if there are any city council people here today who do not understand that Jesus was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died a substitutionary death, and bodily rose from the dead, would You explain that to them? I ask that You bless our proceedings today in the name of Jesus. Amen. The governor approached the minister after his prayer and expressed his disappointment in how the minister had imposed his religion on other people. The minister gently replied, "Sir, I don't do neutral prayers. I don't do Muslim prayers. I don't do Buddhist prayers. I do Christian prayers because I'm a Christian. That means to follow Jesus Christ." What about you and me? I've heard that statement made too. Folks, I've prayed before town hall meetings, and they did not ask me. They knew it wouldn't do any good not to pray in the name of Jesus. But we did pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should not be ashamed to own Him as our Savior and Lord in any circumstance, but to boldly speak the name of Christ. So, how do we say thank You, Lord? We do so with joyful praise and thanking Him for the privilege of even just speaking His name in prayer. How do we say thank You, Lord? We do so by responding with humble submission unto Him. Know that the Lord Himself is God, is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. That statement in itself should remind us of who we are and cause ourselves to humble ourselves before Him with grateful praise. This verse is a simple statement of faith that Jehovah is God. He is Creator, Redeemer, and Shepherd, and we are to be submitted to Him. If the sheep are not submitted to the shepherd, they're going to stray into danger. That's what happens to us when we fail to yield ourselves and humble ourselves before Him and seek His guidance on a daily basis. But how are we to respond? We're to respond according to verses 1 and 2. We're to shout joyfully with grateful praise, come into His presence with thanksgiving, and serve the Lord with gladness. Has anyone ever walked up to you while you were singing, but you didn't know you were singing until they pointed it out? I've shared this with you before. I remember my mother. She'd get up early every morning, and I'd go downstairs, and especially in the wintertime, we had a stove in the kitchen. I'd get behind the stove, put on my clothes because it was so cold upstairs. But my mama would be fixing biscuits or cooking, and she'd be humming. I don't know exactly what song she was singing. Sometimes I was just humming. But what a comforting sound that was to me, to hear my mother humming, singing softly, not just to herself, it was to the Lord. Has anyone ever caught you doing that? I would kind of shudder if somebody catch me trying to sing, I guess. But, you know, I can make a, you said, Bible doesn't say sing like Squire Parsons, but I can make a joyful noise to the Lord and try to sing my praises to Him. See, that's how we ought to respond to God. We ought to sing as if He were our only audience. When you sing here on Sunday morning, who are you singing to? You're singing to the congregation? You're singing for the choir? You're singing for the preacher? You don't be singing toward me. Sing to God. Lift your voice in praise to Him. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Colossians 3, 23 and 24 that whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. Over the years of our lives, God has done things for us that we just should not keep quiet about. Merely thinking of God's goodness should invoke involuntary singing, not just a quiet hymn, but loud, boisterous singing, such that the noise of our praise can be heard by anyone within earshot, especially when we come into the house of worship. I don't know how many of you remember it, but a few years ago, there was a church in, I believe it was in Durham. They sent some of the officials there because that congregation on Sunday morning sang so loud, some of the people outside on the streets got upset. Thank God for people who had that kind of praise for the Lord, that it would go outside the building. Oh, I wonder what it would be like if we sang so loud that these stained glass windows would reverberate. When people came by, they could hear us singing. Praise to Almighty God. We should humbly submit ourselves to God. When we do that, knowing of God's goodness and mercy and love, we should be actively involved in worshiping God and serving Him. You see, worship is not a spectator sport. It's a participatory event. So let us come into His presence with thanksgiving in our hearts and with enthusiastic praise on our lips, because He is worthy of all of our praise. Sing with the joy of the Lord in your heart, for He is our strength. Serve the Lord and others with a smile on your face. Proverbs 17:22 reminds us that a joyful heart is good medicine. God is looking for cheerful and thankful saints who willingly serve and encourage others by bearing one another's burdens, by reconciling sinners and restoring saints to the Lord, which He has commanded us to do. Matthew 28:19-20. Jesus said, all authority is given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. That is one of the great ways we can praise God and serve Him, by telling people about Jesus and making disciples, followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a wonderful praise to God. Listen. Our obedience to the will of God demonstrates how submissive we are to Him. Submission has nothing to do with how much education we have, or how much clout, or how much money, or notoriety we may have. It has to do with who God is and who we are as the sheep of His pasture. So we are to submit, humbly submit to Him. How do we thank God? We thank God by responding to Him, by being thankful. The psalmist said, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting, and His faithfulness to all generations. How do you reply and respond to God's goodness in your daily life? You ever stop to think about it? Have you ever given something to someone and waited for a reply, but it never came? Do you think God is often left expecting a reply from you and me, but we fail to give Him the reply He richly deserves? Unlike singing, which can be an involuntary response to the gladness that is in our hearts, thanksgiving should be a deliberate act of appreciation for God's goodness. What the psalmist said in verse 5, for the Lord is good. His loving kindness is everlasting. We should gladly and faithfully come to this place where the saints gather to intentionally worship Him in spirit and in truth. Gladly thanking Him for His goodness and love and for His salvation. You remember the story in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. 10 lepers came to the Lord Jesus Christ, crying out to him for mercy and for healing. He healed all 10 of them. One came back to give him thanks. And Jesus responded by saying, "Where are the 9? Were not all healed?" I wonder what he's asking of us. Where is your thanksgiving for all I've done, am doing, and will do for you? We need to understand the importance of thanksgiving. You see, true thanksgiving gets the attention of God in a unique way. And we need to learn to give ourselves to him in thanksgiving. The late Norman Vincent Peale told about a man by the name of William Stidger who was on the verge of a nervous breakdown. The man had been a very vital, dynamic person, but he had become an empty shell of his old self. So a friend suggested the way for him to avoid further breakdown and to be healed was by the therapy of thanksgiving and by the practice of what is called an attitude of gratitude. So his friend advised Stidger to sit down and to make a list of all the people who had helped him through the years. Then he was to fill his mind with thankfulness for all these and for all they had done for him. And his friend asked him if he'd ever thanked anybody. "No," he said. "I never really made much stress on that." So his friend advised him to think of someone who especially had blessed his life and to write that person a letter thanking him or her. He thought about a school teacher who was now a very old lady. Stidger sat down and wrote the teacher a letter telling her that he remembered the inspiration she had given him, how he had never forgotten her across the years, and how much he loved her. A few days later, he received a letter written in what was obviously a very trembling handwriting. Using his boyhood name, it said, "Dear Willie, when I think back over all the children I have taught in my lifetime, you are the only one who ever wrote to thank me for what I did as a teacher. You have made me so happy. I've read your letter through my tears. I have it by my bedside, and I read it every night. I shall cherish your letter until the day I die." This did so much for him that he thought of someone else to write, and then someone else, and before he was through, he had written 500 unexpected letters of thanks. The therapy of thanksgiving had much to do with curing him of his depression. He was so grateful for every new day that he lived life to its fullest. That's how important thanksgiving is. It can dynamically transform our lives. Being thankful to God and then being thankful to some individual around us and for who they are and all they've done and the blessings they've been on our lives. How important is thanksgiving to God for all he has done for you? The command to publicly thank God is so important that it is stated twice in this brief psalm. God should never be left waiting for our reply. Whenever we come before him, it's important to say, "Thank you, Lord, for all you've ever done for me." For many of us, the feeling of gratitude for God's blessings on us tends to be instinctive. In contrast, the expression of gratitude is a learned behavior. Its perfection requires practice, and failure to practice and express gratitude can easily destroy our most meaningful relationships. But God, in his love for us, has laid out this formula for the expression of thanksgiving that addresses the who, the what, the where, the when, the why, and how of being appreciative. Without question, the safest place to rehearse expressions of gratitude and appreciation is before the presence of Almighty God. No one in our lives is more deserving of gratitude than the Lord, and we can be assured that he will receive our gratitude as a sweet-smelling sacrifice of praise. Folks, we need to be a praising people, a thankful people. So the question is, are you ready and willing to thank him for his gift of salvation? When's the last time you just thought in yourself, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free." When's the last time you thanked him for saving your soul? When's the last time you thanked him for being there And you're walking through the valley of the shadow of death, walking with a loved one. And you can look back and say, God, you guided me all the way. You helped me through this. When's the last time you thanked him for being with you? When you heard that unwelcome news from a doctor about some serious ailment you had, and how in the world you thought, can I make it through this? And you look back now and you say, God, you saw me through. You were faithful. When's the last time you just simply thanked him for even the small things of life? Strength and health and family and friends and loved ones. For the little things, little gifts. The beauty of God's creation. The beauty of nature. The beautiful rose, geraniums, green grass, trees, the seasons of the year. When's the last time you took time just to thank God? Just to thank him for his faithfulness to you. Do you need to thank him today? Is that something you need to thank him for? Thank him not only for the gift of salvation, thanking him for the provision of a heavenly home. Jesus tells us, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. Were not so, would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. That's a promise of a heavenly home that's ours. When's the last time you thanked him for supplying all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus? When's the last time you thanked him when you realized, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength to face whatever I face every day? When's the last time you just simply said, thank you, Lord? Just thank you for who you are. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for being patient with me. Thank you for helping me through life. As we stand and sing our hymn this morning, thank you, Lord. Page 582, thank you, Lord. Maybe you just need to come to the altar and want to come to the altar and pray. Maybe you need to come and thank him for the gift of salvation. Maybe you need to come and thank him for answered prayer. Maybe you have a need that you want to share. They want to pray about. I'll be glad to pray with you and pray for you. Whatever your need is, would you come as we stand and sing, thank you, Lord.